want answers?
I want the truth!
Then you want Dave Hodges!
The Common Sense Show. You can't dodge the Hodge.
Welcome to hour number two of the Common Sense Show. Hi, everybody. This is your host, Dave Hodges. Also joining us is Danny DeRiso, our news director, and our special guest this evening is attorney Ellen Brown, and we're talking about the economy and the Federal Reserve. And I gave Ellen a moment to compose herself because I think I caught her off guard with that question. But, Ellen, I want to return to that question because the Bank of International Settlement has always intrigued me. And my understanding from what I've read is they're in a position where they can actually devalue our money if they do not think we're, say, creditworthy.
No, I don't think that's true. They do set the capital requirements, and they set a lot of requirements. So they're very powerful, but they don't directly devalue currencies. That it's actually the bondholders who devalue currencies by jacking up the price of the bonds. But that won't happen to us because our bonds are held in dollars. That you really only risk going into hyperinflation or a serious devaluation if you borrow in a foreign currency, and we haven't done that, so we're actually safe there. And that's what you mentioned at the beginning about we're not the same as Zimbabwe. That's why they had Zimbabwe over a barrel, because Zimbabwe had to have dollars to pay the IMF, and the speculators knew that, and so they kept jacking up the price. And in fact, there's pretty good evidence that it was an intentional attempt at a coup, because Mugabe had thrown out the, you know, he'd done a land reformation. Anyway, thrown out the white farmers from the land.
Yes, I remember that. And not dissimilar to what happened with Water, Bechtel, and the World Bank in Bolivia in the late 1990s. And in fact, once they get their hooks into you, it's hard to get out. Okay, so you don't see the Bank of International Settlement as the threat that some other guests I've had on the show do.
I do see it as a threat, but I wouldn't.
You do. Well, tell me how so. How so? Tell me how they're a threat.
Okay. They started out in the 20s. I think they were set up in the 20s. And at that time, they were very controversial because they were Hitler's. Well, in the 30s, they were Hitler's bankers. In the 40s, they wound up with a bunch of gold, which was supposedly the gold that Hitler had confiscated from the other European countries. And so the U.S. attempted to have the BIS shut down, but that didn't happen. But so then they just very quietly, they worked behind the scenes for a long time, but they emerged in the first major thing they did was in 1989, I believe, which was Basel I, where they set the capital requirements so that they raised the capital requirement a mere 2%. I mean, it all on its surface, it makes sense, and it seems like a reasonable thing to do, that banks should have to have $8 of capital for every $100 of loans instead of $6, which is what the Japanese banks previously held. And the Japanese banks at that time were the biggest creditors in the world. They were our biggest competitors and our biggest creditors. And so that, just raising the capital requirement by 2% was enough to level the Japanese banks. They never recovered. They were technically bankrupt and were taken over by the government, although they didn't call it that. And so Japan has never recovered from that, for just by messing with the capital requirement of their banks, which changed their money supply. So then a second...
Well, let's pick that up there when we come back from the break. Those breaks are nasty and be intrusive, but I want to get into how the Bank of International Settlement is a threat to us, and I think the Japanese provide that example. Stay tuned, everybody. More with Ellen Brown on the other side.
Hey, honey, I'm home.
I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The total transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program. Use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation Program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Special guest this evening is Ellen Brown, and the number to call to be a part of the show is 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. And Ellen, as we went to the break, we were talking about how the Bank of International Settlement could actually be a threat to us as Americans and our economic solvency. So you want to pick that up there?
Okay. With the first Basel Accords, the first Basel Accords actually brought down the Japanese banks. You were mentioning devaluation, and that's not actually the word we want to use, because we're actually trying to devalue the dollar, and we can't do it. And the Japanese are trying to devalue. I mean, we have a competitive devaluation going on, and it's not working. So that's where I got a little confused on the issues. But anyway, so the Bank for International Settlement is definitely powerful. And their second Basel Accord is effectively the mark-to-market rule. We got around the first Basel Accord we got around that 8% requirement. Our banks would sell off loans. So you'd have $8 of capital, and you could make $100 in loans, and you would sell those $100 in loans to investors. And that's where we got into the whole subprime mess, and that's ultimately what led to the collapse of the mortgage market. But first it was a huge bubble because they kept selling off loans, and then they could make more loans and more loans and more loans. So the Bank for International Settlements, and you could say this was reasonable from their perspective, because their goal is to keep control of the money supply. They want to keep a stable money supply. So they put another rule on that and said, okay, you can't do that anymore because we're going to require you to value, well, the mark-to-market rule came in, where they were, where we were required to value our assets. Let's see, I lost the stuff in there. Anyway, in 2007, that was when the market first started to collapse. We were required to, banks were required to value their assets according to what the market would fetch today, instead of what the banks were saying they were worth. Like, the banks were saying, well, okay, nobody wants to buy these collateralized debt obligations because they're suddenly highly suspicious of them. But we know that the homeowners are still paying, so this stuff is actually still a good investment for us, and ultimately over time we think they'll pay off, and so we're valuing them at X. That was called mark to fantasy. So the Basel Accords, the mark to market rule, said that you can't do that anymore. You've got to value it according to what the asset will fetch today. So that is what is actually crippled U.S. banks now, because they suddenly had to change rules in the middle of the game. I mean, it was a reasonable rule, but the trouble was that it came down right in the middle of playing this game this other way, where they had all these outstanding loans and they'd valued their capital base a certain way. Now suddenly they didn't have the capital that they had before because they had to be valued differently, just as the Japanese didn't have the capital they needed all of a sudden. And so that turned the banks into zombie banks. They just froze. They couldn't make any more loans because they didn't have the capital base for it. So that's what brought the credit system to a halt, was this sudden rule change. Now they're talking about Basel III, where they're talking about raising the capital requirement to 12%. So this will make it even more difficult for banks to make loans. I mean, it sounds reasonable on its face that, oh, the banks are what have gotten us in trouble and we don't want them doing all this leveraging. But you can just see, you could be pointing your finger and saying it's so-and-so's fault, you know, those are the bad guys and we have to lock them up and then we'll solve the problem. But if you locked up all the crooks, you would not have solved the problem, because the system itself is flawed. So the only real solution is to fix the system. So I could address that. That's my current effort, is on how the system should be in order to be sustainable.
What you're describing here makes me almost suspicious that the collapse, the credit collapse, and the loss of faith in credit in the money system is orchestrated. I mean, they had to have known this was going to happen.
Yeah, no, you could definitely see it that way. And my daughter actually lives in Basel, and she knows people. She's trying to work with the BIS, and she knows people there. And, you know, certainly at the ordinary lower levels, they're normal, nice banker people trying to do their banker jobs, just like I'm sure they are at the Federal. I mean, I know somebody that works at the Federal Reserve, It's somewhere at the top, somewhere behind closed doors. As you said, your image of the cartel, the cigar-smoking guys behind closed doors making these decisions, that's where you have to suspect that they can't possibly not know what they're doing when they've done it, when this has happened before.
What about Glassman Steagall? I mean, shouldn't that have been allowed to stay in place, and wouldn't that have mitigated some of the damage?
It would, and they should put it back. But the banks are so in control now that there's no way that we can get it back. I mean, you don't see any movement in Congress. Everybody seems to agree, or certainly, I mean, all the people I read agree that to revoke it was a mistake and that we should put it in place again. But Congress isn't making any moves in that direction. There are many things that have been repealed that should be put back. I mean, the fact that we have homeless all over the streets goes back to a Reagan, I guess, where it used to be that you could, if you had a relative, for example, who couldn't take care of himself, you could initiate procedures to have that person institutionalized, and then that rule was changed. And so we wound up with a lot of homeless on the streets, and now we have a lot more homeless because they've been turned out of their homes. And so they're squeezing out, they're using up all the cheap Well, anyway, that's another issue. But the thing is, once you're right.
Ellen, you're right. It's not, to me, it's not another issue. It's just a different side of the pie here, because what we're looking at here is the banks are still doing quite well on the real estate. They get one family foreclosed on, and there's a lot of fraud involved in this, as we know. And then they bring in another family, and they get foreclosed on. But the bank is still getting some payment. They're still making money, and they get to extend a 30-year loan every time a new family comes in. So to me, that there is where a lot of the fraud lies, is that this these illegal practices of setting up people for foreclosure under very flim-flam conditions has really led to them maximizing their real estate profit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the question is, how do we get the power back? And it seems to me that where we could get some clout in Congress, there are now 65 million homeowners who technically own their homes free and clear because their homes are held in the name of MERS, a mortgage electronic registration systems, which courts are increasingly ruling can't breaks the chain of title. That if MERS is on your chain of title, MERS itself could never actually MERS said it didn't hold any property. I'm sorry, I've lost the words for this. Anyway,
Ellen, you're right. MERS was a creation of the six major banks, and they went out and hired these robo-signers, these people with high school dropouts with 40 IQs to come in and fraudulently sign names so they can act foreclosure procedures against people. They're the biggest organized criminal organization that's being regulated by the, or should I say not being regulated by the U.S. government. I mean, they're fraud incorporated.
Yeah, so I think that's where we could get some clout would be if we could organize. And people are afraid to stand up by themselves and to go into court and to fight these things. But if you had a group so that you had group support doing it, and you knew what you were doing, it's really not that hard to do a in pro per, at least to raise a defense. In fact, what I would recommend is going in for declaratory relief. I'm a lawyer, but are fairly simple things to advise people to do. Okay. Well, if you're still paying on your home, and you just want to know if maybe you own your home free and clear, you don't want to stop paying because then they might put you in foreclosure and the judge might not agree with you. So that's a very risky thing to do. So people don't want to do that, and they really shouldn't do that. But what they could do while they're still paying on their homes is bring a declaratory relief action for quiet title. So what you're asking the court is, we would like a declaration. We know that MERS is on our chain of title, and we have case law here saying that MERS breaks the chain of title and that therefore we own our home free and clear. And we would like a declaration from the court establishing that's true in this case. And then the court would have to rule, and you can go in and argue your cases. And then for a second cause of action, because you can almost guarantee a court's not going to just hand you your house and, you know, laugh at the bank, because the courts, too, are under a lot of pressure. For your second cause of action, you could say, and you could go move in equity, which is a different branch of law, where you say, we acknowledge that we owe somebody money. We signed a promissory note, and we know that we owe somebody money. But we don't know who it is, and we're willing to pay. If somebody can establish in equity that they are out the money and haven't been paid in some other way, and that it was our money that they lost, or it was our home that they were it was our money that they lost. So we're offering to do equity. In other words, we're offering to make the other party whole if the other party can establish that they
can't come forward and they lose.
They can't.
Okay. Hold it there, Ellen. We're up against the break, and I think we've got that, and we're going to open it up to phone calls when we come back after a word from these sponsors.
estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generations.
Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey Kit includes a 1-quart high-quality stainless steel system, complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. The online store, it's a featured product.
Welcome back. Ellen Brown is our special guest this evening, and we're talking about the economy, the Fed, the Bank of International Settlement, Glassman-Steagall, and all the things that affect us. And Ellen's not quite as pessimistic as I am, so thank God, Ellen, you're out there to counterbalance me. Let's go to the lines and take some calls. Larry from Wisconsin, hi, you're on with Ellen Brown.
I was going to say, you know, since the March 2009 low in the stock market, as of today, you know, the stock market has almost doubled now, gained back almost 100% over the almost 2 years here. And, you know, Ben Bernanke, when he was on 60 Minutes and that, he was kind of taking credit and saying that's because of what he is doing. And I was just wondering, is that true? And if so, will this stock market continue to just go up because of these actions that these Jewish fellows are taking there? I know it seems to benefit mostly like the banks on Wall Street. You know, the Lloyd Blankfein's, you know, of Goldman Sachs. He claimed like they had every single day they've had trading in the stock market has been a moneymaker, not one losing day trading in this. And that's impossible. How do these people do it?
Larry, that's just an amazing coincidence. Ellen, what's your reaction to what Larry said?
Well, the Goldman Sachs is the biggest of the high-frequency program traders. 70% of the stock market is now traded with high-frequency program trades, which are computers. So the computers are, it's the battle of the computers. They're all trying to front run each other. They're all trying to jump in ahead of your trade Well, it's not your personal, your little trade they probably don't care about. What they're looking for is the big pension funds or the big trades that, well, it's kind of a complicated procedure, but you make your bid, and then they are allowed to have a peek at these bids, and then they jump in higher in order to grab up the stock, and then they can resell it at higher yet. So it's all done in split, a portion of a second, and it's totally gaming the system. I mean, there's absolutely nothing of value added by those maneuvers. What they say is it increases liquidity, but it doesn't. It's not the good kind of liquidity. I mean, it's the liquidity you don't want. They're jumping in ahead of our money.
In principle, Ellen, isn't this the same problem that led us into the derivatives and derivative swaps that caused the crash in the first place? Isn't this headed down the same path?
It is a form of derivatives. I don't know. Well, anyway, it's totally gambling and speculation, which is simply not productive. The only way we're going to get the economy back on track is to get people working at jobs that produce goods and services and infrastructure. Gambling with money making money necessarily is creaming money away from someone else. There's no way you can have money making money unless you're taking someone else's money or else you're inflating the system.
But you know what I think is that Ben Bernanke keeps talking about how he cares about the economy. I don't think he cares about the economy, and I don't think he cares whether people are working. All he cares about, in what I understand his job to be, is to make sure that his bankers' friends on Wall Street are making money. And they certainly are. I mean, they're paying out average million-dollar bonuses to all their people. And my understanding of the reason the Fed was created was for the benefit of that particular interest. And when he keeps talking about, you know, he's worried about inflation or he's worried about jobs, I honestly don't think he could care less.
Let's give Ellen a chance to respond to that. Ellen, we got a minute before the break.
Okay, one thing I would say in his favor that I think, you know, actually gave me hope there. You know, his family has one car, and it's a Ford Falcon. So I thought, gee, it could be one of us. And you know, he's not a banker. He's a professor. And he actually wrote about quantitative easing he gave a speech about quantitative easing years before he was head of the Fed. So,
and that's why they hired him, because they said if anything goes wrong, he'll just print money. And that's why the bankers wanted him, is because of any problems they have, he's come out and said. And he goes to, you know, in Congress, all of the committees are headed up by Jews also, you know, Waxman and Frank and all these guys. They all stick together.
I don't know that their religion or their ethnicity has anything to do with this, but I do agree with the Goldman Sachs cartel. There's no question that they have unduly profited. And, you know, remember the movie Wall Street, Caller? You remember Gordon Gekko? He went to prison for insider trading. Ellen, I think that's where these guys should all be.
I know, but that's the thing. They don't even go to prison anymore because they're so in control of Congress that they've changed the laws. So they're not even breaking any laws. It's actually legal to do what they're doing.
Amazing.
Or so far. I mean,
we've got to move along because we're going to come up against a break. But that was just a great call. Please call again. Ellen, before we go into the break here, I think what Larry really is saying is exactly right on the money. The Fed perpetuates Wall Street, and Wall Street perpetuates the Fed.
Dave, are you there?
Okay, we're up against the break, and we'll get Ellen's response to that when we come back. Stay tuned, everybody. More in the last 30 minutes.
Season turn, and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
This is an important message from HempUSA.org for our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy. We urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit HempUSA.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid 3 times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Far out.
Everybody's talking at me.
Welcome back, everybody. Our special guest this evening is Ellen Brown. And Ellen, I'm sorry we lost you there for a moment, but I'm assuming you're back.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay, very good. Well, you know, we were talking about how we just, I personally think that these people all deal in insider trading. It reminds me, like I said, of what Gordon Gekko in that mythical movie, Wall Street, what he went to prison for, insider trading. And that's what you're describing, at least that's what I'm hearing, with how they use these computers, how they manipulate Congress. It's really nothing more than a criminal syndicate.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. And I agree that that was the intent in setting up the Federal Reserve. The whole banking system is a shell game. I mean, it's all based on a fraud. I mean, it's a legal fraud, but the banks take your money, your deposit, and tell you you can have that money back at any time, and then they turn around and lend it to someone else. So they're overextended. You know, they've got way more liabilities than they've actually got, well, than they had the gold for originally when it was a gold-based system. And now it's still a shell game where they're shuffling around money. So the Federal Reserve was set up as the lender of last resort because periodically the whole system would collapse and there'd be depressions and everybody agreed that was a bad thing. So the Federal Reserve was set up so that they could just print some money when needed. When the whole system came up short, they'd just print some more money and put it out there.
Yeah, but it's so corrupt, and it's so immoral, because look at the people that are suffering today But I don't see Goldman Sachs suffering. I don't see Paulson suffering. I don't see any of the Federal Reserve Board members suffering. It just basically, you know, and if you look at, too, the way the mortgage situation is going, which perpetuates itself right out of the banks, I mean, it looks like they're trying to set up a system of basically they control all the homes, they're going to run them back to us, and we're going to be living in a feudal society. It's hard for me not to think this way when I see this massive fraud. I work with a lady at a college who wanted to go refi her home. She wanted a loan modification, and not because she was in trouble, because she was paying too much interest on her debt for when she had bought the home. And Bank of America told her, oh, no, 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 we can't do that. But the only way we can do that is if you stop paying your mortgage for 90 days. Which she said, are you sure? Yes, 90 days, and then you come in and we'll go ahead and we'll refinance your loan. Well, that's not what they did to her. Like so many other Americans, they enacted foreclosure proceedings.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not joking. I know this lady very well. And then she went with the cash that she had set aside with her husband, and they went to B of A, and they said, okay, here's the cash, here's the money, we want nothing to do with your loan modification. And they had a hard time making them take it. They had to literally threaten legal action because they wanted to foreclose on her home.
Mm-hmm.
This is nothing more than unmitigated fraud, and it comes right out of the banking system. And you know, let me take a couple calls here first, and then I want to finish the night off with what needs to be done, because, by God, something needs to happen. Let's go to George in Texas. Hi, you're on with Ellen Brown.
How you doing?
We're doing great, George. What's on your mind?
Good show.
Thank you.
You know, the thing about these financiers and bankers, you know, I talk to a lot of people in Russia, and I tell you, the Russian Federation, I got to say one thing concerning the bankers and these financial oligarchs. This country is a wild card. You got Medvedev on one hand, that's pro financier, and you got Putin, who's the prime minister, who hates them. And you know, this is a country that can like throw a monkey wrench in the international banking community, the cartel. A lot of people in Russia are concerned about the foreclosures in this country because they see if America falls, it's going to have a ripple effect out internationally.
Oh, there's no question that'll happen. Ellen, what's your response to what George has said?
Well, there's certainly a lot of things that can go wrong and a lot of unstable parts of the system. We do need to revamp the whole system, I think, but if we're getting to solutions, what I think the answer is, we need some public banks, publicly owned banks that are totally transparent. It's credit issued by the people for the people. We don't need Wall Street. If we set up an alternative system that works, Wall Street they won't be too big to fail because we don't need them anymore. Right now, they don't need us anymore, but we can fix that by setting up a sustainable system in which credit is issued by the community for the community on reasonable terms, and the interest goes back to the community, goes back to the government, defrays taxes, etc. We're setting up a public banking institute where we're researching these issues and making proposals, and there are quite a few states that are actively showing interest in this alternative.
Have you heard about the results of the Bank of South Dakota? I heard they are doing very well, even in these.
Yeah, it's North Dakota. Actually, South Dakota is where all the usurious credit cards come from. North Dakota is where the bank is.
Yeah, because I heard they use the fractional reserve system for public interest, for infrastructure.
Exactly. Yeah, and so you take their system, but you use it for good, and it can be done. And it's been done. Like our first banks in Pennsylvania were set up that way. They were public banks. The Commonwealth Bank of Australia is another model. The Alberta Treasury branches. There are a number of publicly owned banks that have functioned very well for the people. Banking should be a public utility. It should be something like public libraries.
They're not going to do that, though, Ellen, because that'll cut into some of their profit margin.
Yeah, but we can do it. That's the thing. We could set it up ourselves. And all the states are desperate, and the states are not the federal government. The federal government's not helping the states. And so the states should set up their own central banking system, their own public banking system, like North Dakota did. North Dakota got fed up with Wall Street, and that's why they set up their own banking system, and it's worked for 100 years. They're the only state that is sporting a surplus. They're in the position of trying to decide whether to cut taxes or add programs. I mean, nobody else is in that position. They have the lowest foreclosure rate in this country, the lowest unemployment rate in the country. The Bank of North Dakota pays the state a 26% dividend. I mean, it's a huge dividend. It's a big moneymaker for the
state. You've got to be kidding. 26%?
Yeah.
Oh, my. Well, this is why, you know, let's put on our subsidiary hats here for a second, Ellen. You basically have banking interests that control a lot of the media through their subsidiary holdings. And this is probably why you don't hear more about this in the media. So it sounds like we have some work to do, doesn't it?
Yeah, so there's some great models out there. And yeah, and it's pretty,
George,
it's actually exciting for me
George.
To write about it.
I got one more comment. You know, talking to the people over in Russia, they said the Federal Reserve is printing money. I said, and how Obama is expanding the government. He says, there goes, we are going to collapse like the Soviet Union because our currency will be worthless. The government will not be able to fund its own operations with a worthless currency.
Ellen, you got a different view though. You think that
I think our currency is going to stay strong.
Okay.
I think we're actually doing the right thing with printing money. We need more money out there. We've got to get people back to work. We've got to get people back in their homes. And for that, we need more credit. And credit is money. All of our money is credit. That's all it is.
Okay, thanks for the call, George. And let's go to Leo in Maine. Hi, Leo. What's on your mind?
Leo in Mass.
Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks for taking the call. You know, I've been trying to figure out how we can get you economist types, the Catherine Fitzes, the Ellen Browns, the Gerald Salentis, the Max Kaisers, and the Bob Chapmans, to come together and put out a manifesto that they can all agree on that is geared to each person's demographics so we can see where we are in the demographic and then act accordingly. And I think with all of you people getting together, it'll be much more believable, and they might. I'm just saying that we need a template to recover, and I wish some of you guys would get together and do something.
I think it's a great idea. I mean, Ellen, what do you think about a conference and basically developing an action plan that could be applied to every state to make state legislators aware of how they can escape this debt?
But not just states, also. To each person's individual demographic, what they can do economically within their own structure, so like taking control of their IRAs and things like that.
Okay, fair enough. Ellen, you want to respond to that?
Well, what I'm working on right now with a group of people is a public banking institute where we're looking into issues. There are different schools of money reform, and everybody, we're still sort of bantering among ourselves. We don't exactly agree, so that's a problem. It's pretty hard for all the people writing in this area or talking in this area to get together and agree, because we don't agree just yet. We're still refining the edges, but that's what you know, democracy
okay.
is all about.
We're going to have to move along, Leo. I'm sorry. Leo, I'm sorry. We're going to have to move along. We got a full board of calls, but that was a great point. You know, Ellen, I would hope that you and some of the people that Leo just mentioned could agree at least in some major principles so we could at least get the process going. The devil is in the details, I know, but certainly there's got to be a way to approach the legislatures in each state to do this. And,
no, I agree. We definitely need to organize, and that's what a grassroots movement is. You can just tell the grass is just dying to move. It just wants to know in which direction.
Well, we're going to have you back on to talk about this grassroots movement. Let's see if we can't jumpstart it a little bit here on the Common Sense Show. But let's go to lines and welcome Roger from Kentucky. Hi, Roger. What's on your mind?
My question is about alternate economies. One thing that's been going on for several decades as a small alternate is barter banks, and there's even a barter card which exchanges labor or time banks. where you exchange, hour per hour with someone, doing work for you in exchange for you doing it for somebody else. It's an intricate network. Do you know anything about that? And is that a viable alternative for people to consider going to?
It's definitely viable, and that's sort of the modern day version of what the Argentinians did, where the old community currencies were little printed pieces of paper that were basically, you were printing your own money. It was like an IOU in this community currency system, and that worked quite well in Argentina. But one problem was counterfeiting, that people were faking the little receipts. But now, when you do it by a credit card and by electronics, it comes out, it works very well. So you're actually expanding the money supply without, you're actually expanding the medium of exchange, which is what we need to do, without printing your currency or violating any laws about, printing money. So, yeah, it's a very good idea.
Do you know what?
But it's a little limited. The plane that I'm interested in working on is the big infrastructure, and you can't really build big things with trading your labor for someone else's.
Do you know what the most successful exchange type operation is?
I think the longest lived is the Vier in Germany.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. What an interesting point, but I have to tell you, Ellen, I just had chills go up my spine because, as Roger had mentioned, this form of indirect bartering and trading is essentially what we're talking about, which is basically the grassroots of an economy, particularly at the lower levels.
Right, and you can expand, even within the banking system, that can be done. The Alberta Treasury branches are set up as public, it was a public banking system all through the Alberta in Canada, and they gave a premium for not taking your money out of the banking system because there was a bank in every town, pretty much, an Alberta Treasury branch. You could be trading within the system, like you could be doing money transfers electronically.
Absolutely.
Within the system or by checks within the system, and as long as you never turned it into dollars, Canadian dollars in that case, then you didn't need the national money supply. You were using the numbers of the national money supply. You were valued in the national money supply, but you were expanding the system with credit, trading within your own system. So that can.
This is why we're going to see a value-added tax, though, because there's too many people like you talking about how to get around the system that's been looking at. I'm serious. I mean, Ellen, I really, that's what really chills up my spine when Roger was speaking. I think, what a great idea, but the problem is we're going to see a value-added tax. Every time labor or any kind of good exchanges hands, you're going to be expected to pay tax on it. And with the microchipping the way it is today, I can see very easily how that can happen. Let's go to our final call of the evening. JG in California. Hi, you're on with Ellen Brown.
Evening, Dave. Hi, Ellen.
Good evening.
I just had a question and a couple of comments. Ellen, we all know who the bad guys are. We've known this since the early 1800s, even maybe before. And as we progress through the banking laws, the administrative state, out of common law, maritime law, all the BS that where they position and establish themselves, those of us that known about it weren't probably, can't think of a word, weren't able to stand up because of afraid. And like Mao Zedong said, the only force and authority comes at the end of a barrel of a gun. It's like, the question in association with my comment is, how well has North Dakota been able to get away with what they're doing, which is really the answer to our question, we want, which will rectify our whole problem about this monopoly money fiat game, is how knowing who the bad guys are and how they control this, that nobody's willing to step up and say with this prosecutor or this person, you're out of here, you're not voting in our best interest. How is it able that they're not out of business because the Federal Reserve and the Rothschilds have that much influence? How do they get away with it so long?
Well,
and how are they going to establish the new bank?
For one thing, they're North Dakota. I mean, they're way out there and nowhere, and they kept a low profile.
No.
They just didn't talk about it until they're so established now that there's really nothing you can do about it. I mean, you can look back. They've been in existence for 91 years. They're mm-hmm. a model bank. I mean, there's nothing corrupt about it, so you can't point at it and say that in some way that it's illegal or ripping somebody off. They're getting a lot of publicity now.
Mm-hmm.
But they did have some trouble in the very beginning when they got set up. They had trouble getting funding to start out with because the other banks, of course, were opposed. So there's a real interesting little 30-minute documentary that they put out on it, showing how they did it. So no doubt we'll have a rocky road as well.
I don't see how they get away with it, though, without the fact that there must be some law under Grand Dujour and all this new stuff like the Restore the Republic or America plan has come up with, that what they're trying to do, they're probably doing it wrong, or maybe that's not plausible. But I can't.
You know what we're going to do? We're going to have to hold it right there, though, because that's a great point, J.G., but we're going to do a show on this, just a show on solutions. But thanks for your call. And Alan, sit tight. We're going to come back, promote your book, and talk about what we're going to do next. Stay tuned, everybody.
It only took a minute for my finger to find my daily dose of destiny under my sign.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Attention RBN listeners, the freeze-drying guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees, but we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Hey everybody, don't forget we still have those generic RBN cards available, only $10 per 100, and you can get yours by calling 724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719, and you call today, call tomorrow. We'll also include a copy of Aaron Russo's From Freedom to Fascism. I also want to remind you we're still taking pledges for RBN. They're much appreciated, and you can call the same number with your pledge. And you can also subscribe to our archives for a mere $1.33 a month, and that can be done online or, once again, at 1-800-724-2719. Ellen, you've got a book out, and it's a great book. It's called Web of Debt. Tell everyone how they can get a copy of it.
Well, it's available on my website, webofdebt.com, and it's available on Amazon, among other places.
Okay, so it's widely available. I've read it. It's a great read. It's an easy read, too. I mean, for a lawyer, you really write for the common person, and I appreciate that, Ellen.
I only went to law school. I was actually a frustrated writer. I realized I couldn't make a living as a writer in my 20s, so I went to law school. But I always wanted to be a writer.
It's a great book, but we're going to have to do this again because there's two things I want to talk to you about, and we have more time. One is I want to focus exclusively on pollution because you're giving me some hope that this could be light at the end of the tunnel here, and this is what we look for here on the Common Sense Show of Solutions. And the second thing is at some point I want to talk to you about your book on cures for cancer suppression. And I know that you have written about that pretty extensively, and we had on John Verpin, who is the former CEO of Eli Lilly in Europe, and we heard a whole lot of suppressed cures from John when he was on. We're going to have to do this again soon, but again, from our listening audience and Annie and I and RBN, we want to thank you for being on the Common Sense Show, and we'll have to do it again soon.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks. Ladies and gentlemen, Ellen Brown, and her website address again is webofdebt.com, and that's the name of her book, and you can order it. I've read it. It's a great read. It really breaks the workings of our debt system, our monetary system, down into very understandable language. Well, Annie, we've got a great show coming up next week, don't we?
Oh, yes, we do. This one I've really been waiting for because I've been following Kendra Arneson.
We've moved Kendra to the 30th. We've got Sherry Wilcox on next week.
Oh, we're flip-flopping. Okay.
We're flip-flop. That's a problem when I travel. We don't always read our emails, but no, we have on Sherry Wilcox, and she's going to talk about MERS and the mortgage fraud. And Ellen Brown was saying about how we need to organize against this mortgage fraud. Well, Sherry is doing exactly that, and she's going to come on to tell us about it. And she's really on top of this MERS thing. And, folks, what you heard tonight is just the tip of the iceberg. We're talking some of the biggest criminals in the history of the Republic are right there in MERS. And that's right, MERS. If you don't like that, you know where to find me. You can sue me because you know every word I'm saying. It's true. Robo-signers, forging names so you can foreclose on people. Annie, they're also foreclosing on people who want to do loan modifications. It's in the fine print. You sign it, and next day you get a letter saying, okay, we want your loan, or get out of your house. It's amazing. So anyway, that's on the 9th, Annie. We have Sherry Wilcox on the 16th, we're going to do a show on water, and you're not going to believe what's in your water, folks. It's not good, and I'm talking bottled water as well as tap water, and the fact is your water is also being stolen. And then on the 23rd, we have another great show, but we don't have time to tell you about it. All we have time to do here is wish you a great week. God bless, and we'll see you again here tomorrow.